See, already, this is what you do, guys.
My former co-host, Ailish Forfar here. You know what Ailish is good at? Firing people up. You guys always bring me down. You guys
I'm vibes coordinator.
I know you are. And you showed up, and Ailish is like, I watched the show you like, and remember this show you liked? And I was like, yeah.
Succession.
And I'm all stoked for my day, and I'm happy. And you guys are like, I wasn't alive for that. And I'm like, great. Sweet. Good to be around you guys.
It's not my fault.
Bobby Buzzkill's over here just every single day.
Bobby Buzzkill. It's a new one. I like it. Yeah, I watched Succession.
Oh, God. Yeah, we're not spoiling anything, as I've already said before, but I will say I'm a little disappointed because I asked all the people I know that watch the show what my favorite line of the show was, and none of them got it right.
Well, the thing is, the good problem is there's a bunch of good lines, right?
I know.
I thought the one that I texted you, I thought was because I could picture you saying it to me every day.
Yeah.
Which was the following.
Oh, wow. You really deep thought it.
This is what I thought. You look tired and your face is giving me a headache. I thought that was your favorite because I could picture you saying it to me every time we crossed paths in the studio. Yeah. So I like fired up when I saw it. It was one of the first lines of the episode. Oh, that's definitely the one that JD liked, but it wasn't.
I will say that I did screenshot that meme.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
You're going to use that for sure.
Oh, yeah. There's no doubt about
it. It's a good one.
There were like... That's now my favorite thing about Succession with Ailish and I is who will beat who to the good memes.
Yeah.
You know, who will get the meme chase.
I didn't even think about that yesterday, so you already went up above me.
Oh, yeah, I already got like 8 in my phone.
Damn. I'm going to go rewatch so I can get some screenshotting down.
Just screenshot every single frame.
I'm ready, you know? I'm so ready
for
Succession.
That was a good
memes.
One, though. I'll use that.
The problem is that I'm off social media more now. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't like to just sit there and scroll. I think that when I catch myself now, I go, yo, put this down. I finally put the timer on my Instagram.
Nice.
Have you ever done that?
I have all my notifications off. I don't even go on anymore.
Oh, you don't do that? You're a TikTok person anyway.
I'm not a TikTok person. He came in here the other day. He's like, oh, you're screwed, eh? I was like, what? He's like, TikTok. I was like, did something happen? And he's like, oh, yeah. Like, it's going under. I'm like, I didn't even know that.
Yeah, that's the first time you've broken out your impression of me. I liked it.
It's good. Like, you're screwed, eh?
You're screwed,
and I was like, what are you talking about? I thought, like, something accidentally posted. I was like, did Sportsnet 590, the fans account, like, post something is blowing up, getting ratio, but it was just that it's probably going to get deleted or whatever.
Yeah, it's probably going to go away.
Nah,
yeah.
It's all good.
The U.S. wants China to sell it.
Well, after the videos of that Congress meeting, I don't know if it's going anywhere.
Then I went on TikTok and started watching that. I was like, what?
There's some crazy stuff going on with social media right now.
Yeah.
Like in Utah, they're banning kids from having their own accounts. 18 and under, you're going to have your parents' permission. And even if they give their permission, parents are going to have full access to the account. There's different places like in the UK that are doing hybrid models of this. Anyway, essentially, the world is a changing for
it's pretty smart, to be
the
honest.
Kids like Pete and Joe, where they're not going to be able to be hooked on it 24/7 anymore. But I just put the time limit on where it just tells you, hey, you've been on Instagram for an hour.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And no, it's not consecutive.
Yeah,
it's
like in a day. Yeah.
But it's shocking how many times you'll just open it up out of habit and I'll be scrolling through it. Man, I'll be the dumbest thing that I do is I'll be working out. And I always open it up.
Yeah, no, I do.
Like, I'll just be in the middle of a workout, and I'm just, like, scrolling through it, looking at a raccoon in a trash can, and I'm like, what am I doing? Get this set in.
The problem, the reason I haven't been on it much is now when I open it, like, it'll say a post from 2 days ago.
Yeah, I know.
It was, like, something about, like, the final four, and I was like, it's already set. What am I looking at? It said posted 2 days ago. I'm like, why am I seeing this? Like, just because I don't go on enough, I'm
Twitter
seeing things from,
too.
A couple days ago. It's just, it's not
well,
the same.
Twitter, you got to hit out every time just the following or not for you
for
thing.
You
for you is always the worst. It's like,
I don't
here's
follow
my...
this person on purpose. Why are you at the top of my feed?
Or,
me.
I intentionally did not follow you.
It's my friends, and I go, they're the worst at this.
Yeah.
Why do I pity like their stuff?
Yeah.
Okay? I don't really like their stuff. Get it out of here.
Hear that, Pete? Our stuff that doesn't actually get genuine
I never
likes.
Like Pete's
JD
stuff.
JD doesn't like our memes.
No.
He doesn't like us.
Yeah. Yeah, correct.
He I was once in your though. Seat, folks. I know.
No, Ailish, I've always liked you. All
thank
right?
Thank you so much.
Hey, that's true. We started the show together. It was fun immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Like there were
good vibes.
The vibes immediately were good. Okay, so one of the reasons that we bonded, though, was just our thoughts on food.
Food's important.
Yeah, it was. It was just an easy connector for us. It was, I could not relate to going to a good school or being a student athlete or a professional athlete. Mm. We didn't have a lot of just, you know, easy common ground. So you know what we went to? Do you like snacks? She went, yeah.
What do you like to eat?
Things?
Yeah.
Yum.
Yeah. What snacks do you like? And that became a month of our show. So I love poutine. And the Blue Jays have unveiled, what is it, 13 items?
Yes, 13 items, JD. Okay. And they are seasonally themed.
Okay,
so there'll
thank
be
you,
a new menu. And
thank you for going into waiter tone for this. But yes, continue waiter tone. Yeah.
There will be a spring
Today's
menu,
special.
A summer
yeah,
menu,
thank you.
And a fall menu.
You know what, Pete? When I fire you, you have a real career in being a waiter. So
I used
continue.
To when I was a kid. I used
He's
to
got
get
that nice
little
tone.
Menu.
I would order from you.
Yeah,
you I would tip you.
Yeah, I would tip you, yeah.
No, for family dinners, I'd print out little menus of what we were having.
I can see this.
Okay, that's really
But the new concessions will also feature state-of-the-art ordering technology. So you get to spend more time in your seat. Hopefully.
I bet they'll have the tip option that JD loves.
Yeah. Yes, you love tipping,
starting
JD.
At 25%.
Yeah. Austin's giving him half his paycheck.
$20 hot dog and I'll tip 18%. No, for sure. That makes a lot of sense. Anyway, keep going. So there's 13 items and you can buy them from your seat.
Actually, no, not 13 items. Sorry,
okay,
my apologies,
great.
JD.
You're a horrible waiter.
13 new units, those new AI technology units.
What?
New those
like stations
new stations where
oh,
you pay
there's 13
more easily.
Stations.
There will be 13 of those
what
at
are
sections
the new menu
125
items?
And 518. For spring, for example, fans in Toronto can enjoy, you're going to get mad at me when I mispronounce this, banh mi chicken sandwiches.
Okay, banh mi.
With halal ginger chicken, kimchi mayo, cucumber, pickled carrot, and cilantro on a baguette.
Wow, that's a
offered
lot.
At the new outfield district, The Stop, located center field at the 100th level.
See, I don't mind that because I make my own kimchi with my father. Kimchi's very good for you. Good gut health.
Yeah, gut biome. Everybody's down.
I would try that. I like kimchi a lot.
My personal favorite is the jerk chicken nachos.
Sounds good,
white corn tortilla chips and plantains covered in jerk chicken, pineapple pico de gallo, pineapple sour cream, green onions, and cheese sauce.
See, I like that because that has a real Toronto feel to it.
Yes.
That's a real Toronto-y thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but then there is also the poutine dog.
Yeah.
That's why I'm here.
Yeah. So, because the poutine dog was hot in the Twitter streets last night.
I got tagged in that on various forms of Instagram and Twitter and even TikTok.
Yeah.
And then I got that notification.
They were like, updates on the glizzy?
Ailish, I haven't eaten this yet. I'm like, it literally was posted on social media. Yeah. The ballpark isn't open yet. It's not even been constructed yet.
We're not going to be there for two more weeks.
Thoughts?
You're the authority. You're the authority. That's right. You're doing the rounds. You're doing the shows. And you got
That's why I'm here.
$9.99?
Yeah.
That's actually not horrifically
not
bad.
Terrible.
Okay, so here's my thoughts on this. The menu items, just in general, when it comes to ballparks, when I go to a baseball game, all I want is the popcorn, and it's all, you know, I know what I'm, I know I'm way overpaying, but it doesn't matter. It's just a good snack to share with everybody.
It's reliable.
It's reliable. It lasts. I don't mind a hot dog, but mostly I just actually just get a sausage before I go into the game where it's outside. It makes me feel like I'm at the ball game. I'm grabbing one. I'm putting the sauerkraut on. And if there's no sauerkraut in the thing, I'm putting up a stink going, hey,
you go find
that's the
stand.
One thing we're here for. All right.
Yep.
Put it in. Put it in the plastic container and let us slop it all around. I want that. But when it comes to fancy food items at a baseball game, I'm not there for that. Feels like for the luxury box people. Like if I was in a luxury box, I would want them to bring in a variety of those options rather than just have the pretty stock sushi and then vegetable platter, which is the usual move in the box.
Right.
Bring me those items there. But if I'm sitting in my seats, I can't be having, what was that first thing with the kimchi?
It was like
mayo.
A balmy sandwich.
Yeah, it's like, that's not, where am I eating that in the ballpark? Like, where am I eating that comfortably?
You need like a table and chairs.
On a baguette, too.
Have you ever sat in the section where there's people on either side of you?
Well, that's
and they're
thing,
getting
though.
Up and you're trying to eat your little fancy meals?
Can't.
That's not, it's not designed for that.
Up.
No, exactly.
But now you can get into the stadium for $20. And
see, I hate this even
there's
more.
Some outfield like areas that maybe you can stand at a table and eat your little fancy meals. But
the Stop looks like it's going to be one of those. It's like a little area at the top there.
You're going to pay a $20 cover fee to go in and eat a banh mi sandwich at a stadium. If you do that, jail. Like that's immediate.
I'd like you to see George Springer.
No, that's genuinely like that Simpsons episode where it's the mystery box or the free boat, and they go in there, and it's actually you're about to be arrested. If they go, so you're just here with your walk around ticket, and you'd like to be trying something
right this way, sir.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Into
oh,
the back
we have
room.
A private seating for you. Jail. Okay. So what do you think about the poutine?
I'm very much in the same boat. I am very basic when it comes to what I want to eat at a ballpark or a hockey game or whatever sporting event I'm going to. It's certainly popcorn. And obviously, you know, I'm a Looney Dog connoisseur of the city of Toronto, the brand ambassador for Looney Dogs, self-proclaimed. Nobody has given me that award, but I will take it.
Yeah, you're in a real battle with those guys that dress up like hot dogs.
Yeah, we're now friends because I have one of those costumes now, so I will be there. Nonetheless, I have been tagged in this. I will definitely try it. I'll try anything once, but it's not something that I'm, you know, ecstatic about going to get. Like, I like poutine, especially between the hours of 2 and 4 in the morning.
Yeah, it's the best hours.
And that's about it.
Poutine at that time is red
hot. Or being in a place that is known for poutine, like if I go to Montreal or something, But I don't know. I'm not like fired up about it. I'll try anything once, but I just like a classic sausage or hot dog.
Yeah. Last time I was in Montreal, I actually ate so much poutine at one place that I had almost straight up panic attack where I thought I was
sick.
I had to walk for, no lie, about an hour. Had to walk it off, the poutine
that
I ate.
You had to walk off the poutine energy?
It was so good.
You poutine sweat, Seth.
Yeah, but I sat there and I was...
cheese curds coming out of your skin.
I'm a finish the plate guy.
Yeah, you have to.
I know, but I was from the era where if you didn't finish your food, your parents would go, you know, there's children starving in Africa.
My baba used to say, it was like, she'd be like, you eat your food. Like, she's a Bulgarian immigrant. If you didn't finish your plate, like, you're in trouble. So like, I'm the same.
I'm not starving on the farm in Europe anymore.
We're okay, baba.
We have cupboards.
Every time I didn't do that, my parents would make me eat it for breakfast the next morning. They would keep it in the fridge and then be like, if you don't finish your dinner now, you're eating it for breakfast tomorrow.
Interesting.
I like that move.
Yeah.
Unless you're having
I
pictured
never
in
did it
Joe's
again.
Rich Oakville house too, like,
like steak. Foie gras to breakfast.
I lived in Mississauga
he's like,
at that time.
No, mama, no.
I don't want steak and eggs.
I lived in Mississauga at that time.
The chef cereal. Worked very hard for this, Joe. You will finish Wolfgang's meal. Anyways, I'm with you on the poutine dog.
Yeah.
I feel as though it's going to become a rite of passage, though, like a Blue Jays Kiss the Cod situation where when you come to the ballpark,
you gotta have it.
Yeah, especially if you're an American. This is a tourist trap move where you're going, hey, if you're from the States and you're coming through, that's going to be, they're going to say, what's the food item? Because anybody that does a lot of ballparks, right? Mm-hmm. They all have their signature thing. Toronto really hasn't had one. We've always had the foot long dog, but what is that?
I have never been interested in
that.
No, that thing is like a normal size.
No, I don't want to ruin this for everyone, but I always picture that in my intestine. I'm always like, I just picture it like a snake.
It's
in the morning. I'm sorry.
I'm just saying.
Wait, like I think you should leave when he's got the hot dog up his sleeve.
I'm just the most tiredest I've ever been in my whole life.
That's another good meme.
I'm not eating.
Wait,
all
quickly,
right.
Did you hear about the one that they're doing at Yankee Stadium? They're going to sell 99 of them, and they're an Aaron Judge Wagyu beef burger. Only 99 of them. There'll be
like
19
per game or just in total?
99 of them per game. And they're two layers of Wagyu beef. I'll do your job for you guys. Don't worry.
Yeah, nice.
It's an Aaron Judge burger. And it's called the 99 burger. And they only sell 99 of them. And anyway, it's
looks really good.
Specifically Wagyu beef, which is not cheap. And they're doing it up real nice. So that would be cool. I would try that. That would be great.
Yeah. The only thing with that is, to me, what I think is, how many people would act? This is a really great trick by the Yankees. Because they're going, it's exclusive.
And you're getting in there early, and then you're walking around spending more money.
It's so exclusive. Look at you. You bought a hamburger.
Wagyu beef is expensive.
Sure, but that's the thing. So now you're paying for some super expensive burger that doesn't really come. You know what else I like at the Blue Jays game? The ice cream, because you get to keep sake in the hat.
Mm-hmm. Were the same.
Okay, so
that's what I want.
Yeah,
and a bag of popcorn and all.
Yeah, exactly. But it's nice that if you're gonna go buy something, and that's the other thing with the popcorn, they really rinse you with the upgrade to the plastic container.
But it's you get two refills.
Yes, but that's exactly right. If you bring it with a bunch of people, you obviously have to do the plastic one, and then you at least have something that you can keep. Mm-hmm. I also, though, embarrassingly, once when I was leaving, tried to offer the plastic
to some kid.
Yeah.
And they're like, no.
And their parents were like, what
garbage.
Are you doing?
Oh,
I'm sorry.
You're trying to pull off plastic bin.
I thought it was a nice thing, like going, hey, here's a souvenir.
I see where you're coming from.
And
then, sentimental.
But literally the second I said it, I knew. I was.
The kid's like, you're disgusting.
Their parents were like, you want us to put that smelly popcorn container in our car and have it smell like popcorn? My kid touches it where your greasy hands have been? No.
You're pretty much the guy that gave the Aaron Judge baseball to that little boy.
Yeah,
just
I tried
as
to be.
Much as a
no,
saint.
That my move like that this year was when I won a huge koala bear at the X, and I gave it to a little girl.
Oh,
although I did,
you should have given it to your date. if you had one.
I did, obviously, at first. And then I said, you're not going to keep that.
That's a huge
koala bear. Why don't we give it to a kid? So how about I did both?
That's
all
really
right.
Sweet.
Thank you.
Wow. Two for two.
Yeah, that's right. Nice. Swish, swish, swish. Anyway, yeah. I'm a lock of the century at those fairs.
But I'll try a hot dog. We'll go. We'll have a poutine dog.
I can't believe how soon we're going to go.
It's exciting.
I'm a little nervous about the Station 11 thing in terms of or whatever it's called. What's it called again?
The stop.
The stop. Yeah. Station 11 is a.
Where'd Station 11 come from?
It's a show on HBO that I watched recently about the apocalypse. It was very depressing.
How did you get that from the stop?
I don't know. I just. In my head, I just watched the show like not too recently.
Too much TV here.
Anyway, yeah, definitely. But yes, we will go. I'm a little nervous about how packed it's going to be, considering that they're selling extra tickets. Mm-hmm. I know that first home opener and the first couple of weeks at that ballpark
would be crazy.
Could be a bit of a nightmare. So I really, really, really hope they execute it properly and that it ends up being okay. Ailish, I know you have Jose Bautista on your show tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm going to record an interview with him. Want me to ask him about the poutine dog?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would you eat that?
And he'd be like,
because he's going to level of excellence. I'll say, when you come to get inducted, I'll buy you a poutine dog.
And he's
nice. And he'll say, I don't care about this.
Who you are.
I'm going to be up in a level of excellence, so don't talk to me.
Yeah, he's like, I was told this was a different show.
All right, bye, guys.
Bye, Ailish. Thanks for coming on. All right, yeah, poutine dog. That is the review. That is the, again, I'm just not a huge fancy stadium food person.
That makes sense.
I never feel the urge. And to be honest, I'm not a big eating in public person anyway. I don't count a restaurant as that. Mm. I'm saying this to me is you've got to grab something. You've got to carry it. You've got to walk down your steps or up your steps to your seat. Up your steps for those of you listening. Down the steps for me, not a commoner.
With the elites.
Pete, I brought you to the seats.
It was incredible. It was wow, this is how JD lives?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, we decided that by pulling names out of a hat.
Yeah,
and
we sure did. Yeah, I know.
And then you said, I'll take you to the next one. Never happened.
Yeah, because guess what? I went with Pete. It was such a horrific experience.
I decided there's absolutely no
way that I'm ever doing this again. Okay, so yeah, that was the fun times. Those were the back in the day times, right?
Aaron Judge chasing the record. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
we were young and innocent.
Kyle Lowry's in town tonight, and Blake Murphy tweeted yesterday that he's questionable. I can't remember what exactly. I think it's a hamstring or something. Kyle Lowry's questionable with old guy injury because Kyle Lowry has been basically questionable or out for a lot of this season. This would only be his 51st game played. A bunch of missed time last year, missed 20 games last season. He's going to miss a ton this year. He's just turned 37 years old. It doesn't feel like there's any discussion about, the Grope being in town. Still one of the worst nicknames we've ever created. Every time we say it, I'm like, what would I say? Joe Cusciaro, senior content producer at The Score, joins me now. What's up, buddy? How we doing?
How's it going, man? Good morning.
Good morning. I would like to petition to stop saying the Groat, stop writing the Groat. We can find something better.
I often refer to the Groat on Twitter and stuff, but I never actually say it because it just sounds awful.
Oh my God, I just did. And now I went. I'm spinning. I'm done for the entire day. Okay, so I mentioned he's 37. Stats are down across the board. Good chance he's a trade chip this offseason as a bad contract for Miami if they go after a star. Yeah, how do you feel today about the final waning years of Kyle Lowry's legacy? Is this kind of a good thing that he didn't end up being a superstar in Miami? They didn't kind of steal our guy? He stays as a Raptor? Like, what are your feelings about, watching his final couple of years?
I think that it's maybe the rare time when a franchise icon and a franchise probably walked away from each other at the right time. Mm-hmm. I don't think that happens often enough. And I think the Raptors are probably happy that they're not, paying him what he's getting now for this stage of his career and what he is. And the fact that even though, there are people still probably aren't happy about the fact they didn't trade him at that deadline and they could have got more. Mm-hmm. I think all things considered, if people look at, the player he's been on this contract, I think you'd have to be pretty happy with the fact the Raptors aren't the ones paying him and that they did still get something in terms of like a young piece with upside and Precious Achiuwa out of that. But it's definitely still a bit sad to watch. I mean, we know what Lowry is, like I said, as a franchise icon, as the greatest Raptor of all time. And even if you're not a Raptors fan, just what he's been in the NBA for the last, decade plus as this kind of bulldog point guard, floor general that leaves it all out there, that just impacted winning on such an insane level that, honestly, sometimes I go back and look at some of the numbers or watch some of the old highlights, and it still boggles my mind. Just the impact this guy had on winning and on the court. You could not have asked for more from him. And, you know, the fact that now he's, father time has finally caught up to him. It is what it is. That's just what happens in pro sports. So kind of feel for him, but doesn't take away from the career he's had and definitely the Raptors tenure that he had.
No, I don't think it takes away from his career necessarily. He is an undersized guard who made it until his age 35 season while before he stopped being really effective, which is an incredible, incredible achievement for Kyle Lowry. But there was a lot of, hey, he's got a really hard time going on first year in Miami. And so people sort of left it alone. And I don't think Heat fans... When he was first brought there, there was a ton of excitement of, okay, this is going to be Heat culture and they're going to be able to winning team with him. And hey, Raptors fans, how are you going to feel if he ends up making a deep playoff run? And are you going to be rooting for him? And it hasn't materialized that way at all. Basically, the second he stepped foot in that Miami Heat uniform, he's been a very diminished version of himself. He averaged 13 points a game last year in 63 games. He's averaging 11 points a game this year. He's on track to play less than that. Well, he's not on track to. He's 100% going to play less than 63 games this year. His field goal percentage is through the floor. He's not even really shooting threes all that effectively anymore.
Since he's been back from injury, I mean, it's only been, I think, 6 games or something like that. But since he came back from that knee injury, which kept him out, I think, 5 or 6 weeks, he's been coming off the bench.
He's
only averaging 9 points and 4 assists. But the one positive is that he's been more efficient again, and he is actually shooting the ball really well. I think since he's been back from injury, he's 12 of 25 from deep or something. So he's shooting well, but it's in a very small sample size, and he's coming off the bench.
Yeah, and here's the problem with that. He makes $30 million a year.
Yeah. Exactly.
He makes $30 million a year. So to me, it just feels very likely that Miami this offseason, they do the Russell Westbrook thing where they try to shop him around. They try to get off the contract with a pick if there's the right kind of player or the right kind of return that's out there. And maybe they end up coming up short there because I don't know how many teams want to take $30 million of Kyle Lowry onto the books and say, this is going to be fine. I don't know how they talk themselves into the value of it. I think the ultimate destination for Kyle Lowry, what ends up happening is this is his last contract, that next year ends up being his last season. I don't see any way around him continuing his career. He's not going to be an Andre Miller type who's going to try to play into his 40s. Don't you get that impression too? This is it.
Yeah, it definitely seems that way based on the last year and a half. I thought the last season he started the season strong and I thought, the fit made a lot of sense in Miami. And then, when he eventually ended up coming back, they made the run to the conference finals. Then I think, if you remember, Pat Riley kind of made the references to him needing to be in better shape. And I thought, all right, he's going to come into this. Maybe he'll have one last hurrah. It'll be his swan song. He'll get something out of this year. And then it obviously just hasn't materialized. It's been even worse than last season on the court anyway. It's definitely trending that way, that it seems like this is kind of the end for him and he'll play out his contract and that'll be it. And that's what I would bet on. Mm-hmm. You see it sometimes in the NBA where a guy does look like he's absolutely on his last legs. And then he ends up having this remarkable season that's saves his career and gets another contract. But I would just bet against that because I just think it's, like you said, undersized point guard, 37 now, a lot of minutes and high leverage minutes under his belt. I think it's almost asking too much to expect that he's going to go from what he is right now at this stage of his career to playing well enough next year to extend this beyond that.
Yeah, he's played over 1,000 games, and that's not including playoffs.
Right.
I don't see the miracle turnaround for Kyle Lowry. And the whole sort of premise of this today was, does this strengthen his Raptors legacy at all? I actually think it does because he's the greatest Raptor of all time for many, and didn't say it that time because I couldn't bring myself to it. But I do think that there is a little something to a lot of Raptors fans. I remember the take of, man, he's going to go to Miami and he's going to do Kyle Lowry things, and all of a sudden the national NBA media is going to really start to appreciate him differently. There's going to be more Kyle Lowry conversations. the ones that Raptors fans really wanted to have. Had he made this deep run with the Heat or kind of been there for them for maybe a championship run or two, him and Jimmy Butler became this really dynamic duo. I think that, yeah, we have recency bias in this sport. And we remember guys for doing that. And obviously he's not Tom Brady, right? Like, he's not Tom Brady. But where I'm going with this is Brady went to Tampa, finished up his career there, and now our memories are of Tom Brady winning a Super Bowl with the Buccaneers, not with the Patriots. The first one that comes to mind is him beating Mahomes for me, right? Like, maybe it's not. Maybe it's the losses for some people. The helmet catch, I would say, might be number two. But yeah, that four Raptors fans, they don't have to share at all. I think that kind of ends up being a selfishly good thing for this fan base, even though it's obviously not a good thing for Lowry.
Yeah, and I mean, it really, his career is like that. Like, he was a kind of high upside guy when he was like, whether it was Memphis or Houston, he had his moments, especially in Houston, but
Houston,
it never worked.
That and one year was awesome.
Yeah, but he clashed with Rick Adelman, I think it was, the following year. Or no, was it Kevin McHale? I don't remember now. It was Kevin McHale. I think he liked Rick Adelman.
Yeah.
He clashed with Kevin McHale. You know, he had injuries. Memphis, Mike Conley kind of beat him out for the job. And then, yeah, you're seeing now what he's doing in Miami because of just how late in his career it is. So it really is this unique situation where I think Raptors fans were so used to stars of that magnitude having great years elsewhere, or the Raptors either being a stop in the middle or the Raptors being a launching point before they left and then still being stars. Whereas with Kyle Lowry, he's a Hall of Famer. He's going to end up in the Hall of Fame, and the entirety of his Hall of Fame quality play and the Hall of Fame portion of his career, the entirety of that was in Toronto. And yeah, I mean, maybe it is a bit of a selfish way to look at it, but it's kind of cool based on the fact of how other Hall of Fame worthy NBA players that have played here careers have gone.
Yeah, because, okay, just to use Roy Halladay as an example, right? With Doc, when he went to the Phillies, everyone in Toronto rooted for him, right? Because it was a squandered opportunity year over year. Raptors didn't have that. It was really, really good teams that actually most often than not disappointed before Kawhi came. And we can say, oh yeah, well, they ran into LeBron. They had to go, you know, seven games with a Bucks team they should have smashed. They had to go seven with a Pacers team that was horrific. They had that loss to the Wizards that was the worst. That I'll never forget that game four against the Wizards. Oh my God, yeah. Where you're just sitting there going, the highlight of the series was a Gravis Vázquez tying the game.
Yeah, and a shimmy. Yeah. He shimmied after he tied it.
Exactly. You want to talk about tough moments for Lowry too. His post-game or his post-media conference after that exit, and yeah, the way that he sort of threw Dwayne Casey out of the bus. I can't believe Dwayne Casey survived that sweep, to be honest, after the way that Kyle came out and just roasted him after that. But this isn't Roy Halladay. He had success here. He won here. So I didn't really feel the same urge to go root on Kyle Lowry in a different place. Raptors had more success earlier, I think, than we all anticipated last year when he did leave. That was sort of part of the equation. But I'm not crying that Lowry didn't end up having a super successful Miami career, but that does bring me to this. Lowry's Heat team could absolutely play the Raptors in a play-in game.
Yep.
It's actually feeling very, very on track for this, because here's my guess that Miami will finish in that 7 seed. That's likely going to happen. They will face an 8 seed team. Maybe they end up losing that. They'll probably be slight favorites in it. That would be my guess, depending on who's there. But yeah, the Raptors could easily jump up into that 8 seed for that game. Or, the Raptors, should they stay 9-10, I think the Raps will beat whoever is in that 9-10 game, whether it's the Bulls or the Hawks. I think Toronto is better than both those teams. And then if Miami loses, they could end up playing them for a playoff position. Do you think that matters? Do you think that, obviously you'd like to avoid it, because I just don't think anybody wants to see Lowry have to face the Raptors in an elimination game. But given the way people feel about the team this year and where Lowry's at, does it actually have stakes?
I honestly don't. Okay, well, like, it obviously does it on one hand, because it's Kyle Lowry and it's the Raptors and it's like a one game winner take all. But I just think those stakes are so diminished compared to what, like, if someone had told you, say, the day he went to Miami, hey, within the next two seasons, Kyle Lowry's going to play the Raptors in a one game play, and then you'd be like, whoa, that's going to be crazy. And the stakes are going to be high and the city's going to be buzzing and then no one's going to know what to do. But it's just the stakes are not what we thought they would have been if someone had told us that two seasons ago, or to be honest, even at the beginning of this season. So, like, I think it'll obviously be a storyline. People will talk about it, but I just don't think we'll be able to even manufacture, you know, the stakes, because I just think unless, you know, Lowry really goes off over these next couple of weeks and starts getting a lot more playing time again. I mean, like, he's a fine veteran reserve guard now is what he is, like, since coming back from injury. And I just think it's unlikely that that's going to be, like, a big storyline in a game between Toronto and Miami where, you know, at this stage of his career, there are much more key players on both sides in that battle.
Yeah. There's a few things on it. One, the big fear, right, is that Lowry does Lowry things, though, in that game.
Yes. No, very fair. And like I said, he is, since he came back from injury, he is shooting the ball really well. So, like, you know, if he's
on the court,
in crunch time and hits a big shot or so. Oh, you're talking about like him crawling through someone's legs or something?
Yeah, dude, okay, so I've always had this, I've always maintained this joke. I even talked about this the other day with John Gibbons, how the 2015 Blue Jays, they were our jerks, you know?
Yes.
They were 100%. Our jerks. But if those Blue Jays, if that team was the Yankees or the Red Sox, they would be one of the most hated baseball teams we would ever remember in this market. Truly. Yeah. That's just a fact. You can put that down in pen. Like, we hate Garrett Cole here. He's sort of the guy everybody hates. Man, Josh Donaldson, Jose Bautista, if you were playing them in a Yankees uniform and those guys were bitching at umpires all game long, talking trash to the other dugout all game long, standing on first base, jawing away, going to post games, jawing away. God, they would be hated so much, but they were our jerks, so we love them. And you love your jerks even more, right? Because other fan bases come after them, and then you feel like you defend when they're on your side. My fear, slightly, would be that you see Lowry being their jerk, right? Remember him versus Marcus Smart? And Celtics fans going, Lowry is the worst, and Rodgers fans going, Marcus Smart is the worst. I fear a tiny bit of that. The only good thing is that it wouldn't be over a 7-game series, right? Where it's just it accumulates off of a 1-game. People would just kind of go, I think, nostalgic with it, where they would say, oh, Lowry, I remember sort of when that was that way. Two is, if the Heat did beat the Raptors, I think a large portion of his fan base would go, good. Because we're
put him out of the misery.
Yeah, we're thank you. You know, this is an old Yeller situation. We didn't need to continue. Thank you for taking us behind the shed, because we did not want to continue into a series with Boston and Milwaukee and suffer the humiliation and a worse draft pick.
Yeah, no, and I think that's a big part of it, and that's what I was gonna say. I don't think it would like do any kind of, you know, damage to our Raptors fans' psyche. I don't think it would impact at all the relationship with Lowry, just because, one, it is a 1-gamer, like you said, it's not a 7-game series. And two, it's not really like he would be having a hand in ending something beautiful for Raptors fans. No. It's not like Raptors fans are going into the play-in or the playoffs thinking, oh, like, you know, the right matchup, they've got a chance here. Like, that most Raptors fans, I think, accept the fact that given the way the season was going, like, if they even make the playoffs proper, not the play-in. Like, I think most people would be like, well, for what they wanted to do since the deadline, that's probably a success. Now, I'm not saying most fans will be happy with that. I'm just saying that's probably what the expectations are now. So I don't think anyone's going to be, you know, thinking of it like, oh, that damn Kyle Lowry doing Kyle Lowry things really robbed us of a potential spring run.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. I do think, though, there are stakes for Lowry in the plan for Miami. Just from the Miami standpoint is, if he's dreadful, if he has like a 3-11 game and in a must-win elimination, I think that seals it, where Miami fans go, what a disaster this was. And he actually ends up becoming one of the worst Miami contracts they've ever had, where Heat fans look at it and go, wow, they really gave Jimmy Butler's friend $90 million to come here and end Jimmy Butler's Miami Heat career.
I think that's a fair point. And I also think, no, not just Lowry, but for the Heat, the stakes are immense. Like, the Heat are one of those teams where, even though, like, we've seen enough from them this season, and, you know, I don't think they're a title contender, they don't believe that because of how all-in they are from, like, top to bottom in that organization.
Oh, Jimmy Butler plays there. They obviously don't believe that.
Exactly. And so they're, like, they could be, not that they will be, but I'm just saying they could have a bad couple weeks here and end up in the 9-10 play-in, and they will still go into the play-in thinking, well, we just got to get into the playoffs and we can absolutely win a title. They can't, but they'll think that way, and they're so all in based on the like stage in their careers, the best players are, based on how pot committed they are from a salary cap perspective, based on how they've burned through a bunch of assets to build this team. Now, I know the easy answer for them is, well, they play in Miami, and so all they have to do is, you know, move some contracts around, get some Cavs, and like I'm sure they'll get another star because it's Miami, and that's true. But it's, you know, it's not always easy to move contracts around. Like, they very much are all in, and so the stakes for them are high already to get something done in the playoffs. And if it's the Raptors in a play-in and you add the Kyle Lowry situation to it, yeah, then I'm with you. Like, the stakes for him are even higher.
The biggest winner and the stakeholder in this is Precious Achiuwa, who somehow gets deemed as a win for the Raptors, despite being a, you know, 8-point or 9-point guy who averages 6 rebounds and has brutal hands, can't catch a basketball, and who one night seems pretty decent and then the other night looks completely unplayable, and who they clearly made moves around and adjusted for, where people go, well, that's pretty good. They got a guy. I'm like, all right. I feel like you could probably get a Precious Achiuwa type for nothing anywhere. Like, you could pretty close to it anyways. Joe Gasciaro, I was going to talk my house with you, but I think that, yeah, you got to run. So this was great today, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, all good. The only thing I'd say with Achiuwa, I think with the ceiling is what people saw. And last year, I think, helped it. And then this year, he's just been, I mean, like a big part of their disappointing season is how disappointing he has been. And to your point, I mean, he's going to wear that.
Yeah.
So it definitely does not seem like a win today.
No.
I would have said it felt like maybe one last April, given the way he finished the season. But yeah, same question today, definitely does not look like a win.
Yeah. And he's only 23, right?
Yeah.
And so there's still time. I'm not going to write off his entire career, but I think there are some things with Precious that I'm not sure you learn. Like, I've made this reference before, but it's kind of like when a guy doesn't take walks in baseball, you go, man, that's not really a skill set that over time improves too much, your ability to take. And sort of with Precious, there's some feel stuff with him where I go, I'm just not sure it'll ever get to a place where you see him catch. Like, there's been no greater guy to bring in terms of showing Raptors fans exactly what Precious Achiuwa cannot do than Jakob Poeltl, who is surefire hands, an incredible amount of intelligence and patience around the basket versus a guy with no hands, little patience and feel around the basket. So,
Jakob Poeltl's excellent. Like, just the way he's fit since arriving here has really magnified how goddamn much this team needed a real setter.
It turns out still important. After two seasons, they went, you know, maybe a 7-footer who can catch the ball around the rim would be good. Fred VanVleet all of a sudden making, I don't know, $10 million more dollars per year based on his assist numbers, even from getting a big he can play in the pick and roll with. So, good for him. Yeah. Huge winner, Fred VanVleet in this, at all of
what's that Jakob Poeltl's doing after setting a screen? Is he rolling to the basket about to catch the ball?
Catching it. Pump faking, finishing, having more than one post move. Truly incredible stuff. Joe Gasciaro, again, senior content producer over at The Score. Always a ton of good stuff. Always enjoy our chats, buddy. Take care.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
See you, man. There he goes. And I was going to talk about the Mavs, but at this point, I think a lot of people are starting to cover it. It's getting really hot. They won last night, though. So.
They did.
Good for them. You beat the Pacers. Did you see the pass Luka made last night?
The video of it?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Just...
Sorry, that was a dumb take.
Did you see it? Like the actual...
After they rescinded his tech, too. He originally wasn't even going to play.
Yeah, Pete's just pulling it up right now, right?
I've also seen the video now.
Yeah. Nice deal. Yeah, so for those of you that didn't see it, he's basically backed all the way into the corner, and he's teetering out of bounds, and he jumps up, turns around, two defenders, whips a pass baseline behind the backboard to a wide-open three-point shooter. It is truly a gorgeous play.
Yeah.
But, hey, Luka, you probably need to make the playoffs for people to...
I would recommend making the playoffs.
Well, this actually is a spot for Luka Doncic, and, everyone's going to... What a perfect thing for him, because everyone's going to take shots at Kyrie.
Oh, 100%. Kyrie is the scapegoat in all of this.
That's what I mean, is Luka deserves some of this blame.
Yeah.
It's, well I'm just, okay, I remember what it was like when Kobe Bryant would play on teams like this and no one around him would get better, or Russell Westbrook would put up these crazy stats. And granted, Russ won an MVP, but the narrative around him was half of the NBA people going, hey, he actually sucks. And I'm not saying Luka sucks. And I shouldn't even say that Russ sucks, but that, hey, this is a lot of stat padding and this is a lot of stats, but no winning.
Mm-hmm.
And that was Kobe and that was Russ. And for Luka, what is he, 3 games under 500 or 2 games under 500?
Currently, they are 37 and 39.
Okay. So he's 2 games under 500. You know,
one seed out of the
play-in. Watered down west.
Yeah, one seed out of the play-in.
And I don't see a lot of Luka Doncic is basically Russell Westbrook stuff because he does it differently. So I'm just saying, should be that same energy for Kobe and for Russ as it is right now for Luka Doncic, where his team is losing every night. They just lost back-to-back games to Charlotte.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
That happened here in Toronto. People would be going, wow, Masai, you kept this core together? They lost to Charlotte twice? They don't even have ball.
They've lost seven out of their last 10. Ball.
Yeah. They beat the Mavs.
Yeah.
That's bad.
Well, they've been getting beat by everyone else, too.
Yes. That's what I'm saying. It's outrageous that it... Maybe I'm missing it because, again, I have to cover every sport. I think that gets lost a little bit sometimes on the show. So if you're mad at me, fine. But I'm doing my best. I'm trying to watch all these. I'm doing a Leafs postgame show. I try to still watch West Coast NBA basketball. I watched some of that Pacers game yesterday because it was on early.
Yep.
I'm trying to fill the calendar with as much sports as I usually can. I like them, turns out. I usually enjoy watching the sports. But from me anyways, from in my little cultivated bubble that I have made for myself in social media. Ooh, so warm. I don't see
put the timer on.
I don't see a time from my curated, perfectly selected for you Spotify playlist. I haven't seen a ton of Luka conversations from a negative standpoint.
Well, it's all going right towards Kyrie.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, I've seen a lot of Kyrie shots lately.
Ever since Kyrie was traded to the Mavericks, they are 9-13.
That's what I mean. Feel like people are going to point at that and go, it's all Kyrie's fault. Granted, what was the Kyrie quote from the other day? We have it somewhere, right?
Yeah, it's down in the dock.
Yeah, booze, Kyrie on being booed in Dallas. Quote, so what? you obviously want to play well, but you, it's only five people. That's a weird way of saying it.
Yeah, I know. It's a weird weird transcription, but it's only five people on the court
that can play for Dallas Mavericks. If the fans want to change places, then, hey, be my guest. Got years of work ahead to be great enough to be on this level, end quote. So I kind of like some...
It's a pretty cool quote.
Yeah. Well, here's what I would say. Everyone's dying to trade places with you, for sure.
Yeah.
They are.
But not willing to put the work in.
Well, dude, have you seen the Kyrie balance videos? You know, so
those I'm pretty sure those are fake. The ones where he's about like going all the way forward?
No. Those aren't fake. That's a balancing drill that he's doing where it's like he pushes on his toes. I've seen him do that before.
There's one of them that is fake though, because someone
There's
one of them that is, and it went viral and everyone's like, it's real.
No. Either I'm sure there are ones that people distort the video of, but I've seen Kyrie do that straight up in warm-ups where his balance is so good that he can just like push and lean forward and like he's basically planking on his feet. And he'll go just about onto his tippy toes and go to not quite a 45-degree angle, but somewhere pretty damn near close to it.
Yeah.
And be able to rock himself back and forth.
He can do it side to side, too.
Yeah, and he can do it side to side. Yeah. No, man. Kyrie, people underestimate how great an athlete Kyrie is.
Oh, 100%.
And yes, the work has clearly been there because his handle is not something, that's not a natural born-given gift. I think Kyrie has the greatest handle I've ever seen. And for a guy his size... to be able to score around the basket the way that he does is truly one. If Kyrie wasn't the worst guy, he would be my favorite basketball player, maybe of all time.
Yeah. 100%. Do you think Kyrie has the most aesthetically pleasing basketball ways of playing in the game today?
Yeah, I've always really loved, I mean, there's so many guys whose games I really love. It's hard for me to go down the list, but I really loved Jamal Crawford. He was always my guy that I just wanted to watch him play. I wanted to watch the way that he created for himself. There'd be some frustrating games.
Allen Iverson up there too?
Actually, I was never really an AI guy.
Really?
Nah, not really. Because, well, one, they beat the Raptors when I was a kid.
True, that's a fair point.
And that was a big one.
That's a fair point.
No, I was never a huge AI guy.
Interesting.
I was like, weirdly a big Stephon Marbury guy as a kid. So, and I really loved Gary Payton and I loved Steve Nash and... Yeah.
Those shoes were sweet, though. The Stephen Marbury shoes.
Well, it was really cool when he decided to be like, hey, no more sweatshops.
And I just read. Yeah, and
I just had read No Logo by Naomi Klein. And I went, this guy.
On the Luka point, he did make the conference final last year.
So
I think like that's why you're not seeing as much criticism directed towards him, because he's had success in the playoffs and you've seen a lot more of it directed at Kyrie, who's also won a title.
Yeah. Yeah, Kyrie won a title next to LeBron.
Well, that's what everyone's pointing to. It's like Kyrie's like resume since he left LeBron, and it's just like not good.
No, Kyrie is he's the meme of that of death with the scythe. Knocking on different hotel doors, and you just see the dead people in the trail of the hotel doors, and it's like,
it's
and
like
then
the
he's
Cavs,
knocking
the
at
Celtics,
the next
door.
It's just the Mavs,
the Mavericks.
Yeah, it used to be Matt Duchesne was that for hockey, and now Kyrie is that for the NBA. Yeah, look at that. That's real.
Which one?
Him standing on two basketballs.
Video. Yeah.
Oh yeah. The other one that I saw was the one of him in the like at practice when he's leaning forward.
I know.
I cannot believe that.
That is real.
That is real.
Yes,
yeah.
It is.
I don't know, JD.
Okay.
No. The basketball one, I've seen that one before. Mm-hmm. There's another one where he's leaning forward. Like,
do you know what
practice.
I hate about this era though? Is that everything I go, is this fake? And I have
and
to live
none
this
of us
way.
Know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I hate the ones they do it with athletics, especially though, like the DK Metcalf one, because why do you want me to have to ask this question? First of all, where anybody that goes, whoa, is that real? You just go, you know, you idiot. You can't jump that high, you stupid idiot. And I'm like, oh, great advertising campaign.
It's a 71-inch vertical.
But it's like, is DK Metcalf not athletic enough purely just to jump up in the air and catch the rock that we film it that people would go, wow, that's pretty sick? No, I'm saying, exactly. Yeah. It did look kind
of. There was also the video of Curry like making like the full court shots.
Exactly. What I'm saying is, do we really need to, have we gotten so spoiled with how great athletes are that we can't just have them do their great things athletically?
Mm-hmm.
We
need to. They can't just be sick.
We have to put video edits and things on and make them do trick shots and have them jump 12 inches higher in a video for some reason. I don't understand why we're doing this.
Like, it'll only get worse. Too.
Like Tyreek Hill just won a.
It was the USATF Masters.
Yeah, he just won a, what was it, 100-yard dash where he just smoked the competition at this Masters event. And I don't know how prestigious that is, but he smoked the field.
There's like multiple fan videos of it, Pete. Come on, man.
What I'm saying is like that's how incredible some of our professional athletes are. And yet we have to make these fake videos where I watch it and go, is this real though? Did he actually do this? It annoys me. It's a huge pet peeve. Please, we need to get rid of the fake videos. Anyway, let's take a quick break. What isn't fake is how much Lamar Jackson hates the Baltimore Ravens and our best bet.
Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
A little tight in this hour. Going to give you my best bet. Brought to you by our friends at Betano Sportsbook, the 2022 Global Sports Betting Operator of the Year. Betano. Download the app, do all those things. Man, early payouts for Betano, which has been very good to me.
Bless me on the weekend.
Yep. You know what else? Four in a row for the best bet segment to the haters. What did I say yesterday?
Hot streak.
What did I say yesterday? Hey, what would the Bucks be doing playing their guys? And they didn't. And it actually got a little spooky at the end. All of a sudden, Milwaukee hit this three with, I want to say, 9 minutes to go to push it to 13. And I went, oh, no.
They're going to run away with it? Oh, no.
Don't do this. But no, Detroit actually ends up covering comfortably 16.5 points.
Mm-hmm.
If you can grab that, that's just, you got to do it. You got to do 16.
They played for pride.
They got a little too, the Betano book boys got a little out of hand with that one. Now they did adjust it. You know what felt great? This is the thing. Hey, let this be known as just in terms of a betting thing. I told you, I don't really love the in the morning stuff because I like to have more information and you get more at night. But every once in a while, you can take a shot at something like that where you go, hey, this is the Detroit Pistons. They're getting 16.5 points. Mm-hmm. They're facing a Bucks team. Their star player is a little dinged up. Why would they play Drew Holiday's or Chris Middleton's, who's had a banged up year? They did play Chris. But my point is, an educated sports fan who is paying attention to the NBA, when you're looking at early lines like this one, you can sometimes try and jump it. Yeah. It doesn't work every single time. There's an added risk to it. But last night, if you bet it when we did, you got 16.5 points. The second Giannis and Drew were out, it was 12.5 or 13.5.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it was 13.5 on Betano. So yeah, 3-point swing. Pretty nice. Pretty nice. Pretty nice. Okay. So this is Best Bets. I'm going to the Canada soccer game tonight. Canada's number one soccer fan is back in the building in the support.
Number one.
Yeah, that's right.
Number one.
That is correct. So, you know, I'm making a Canada bet. Jobo, today you're taking over this one. I got to say this. I'm betting Canada.
Okay.
Okay? I just am. Okay. But I was looking it up. Since the 8-1 embarrassing loss to Honduras, Canada has 2 wins.
Yep.
Nice. 2 draws.
Yep.
Sweet.
Yep.
2 losses.
Keep in mind, it's also over 8 years, though.
Yeah, it is. And and you know what else I liked?
What's that quote
from Jonathan David. He said, "It's a game we have to win. Canada is playing everybody, including Alfonso Davies."
Yep.
Whoa.
They're starting
and
the whole
going
squad.
To this game?
Yeah, buddy. Wow. I'm Canada's number one soccer fan. I'm going to the game.
He has to go to the game, Pete.
Anyway, I was shocked that literally everybody is playing in this game for Canada.
It's Nations League. So if they win, they progress to the Nations League semifinals, and it's a chance to play for a continental trophy, which Canada's not had a shot at in a long time.
Yeah, it's a 4-team single elimination tournament. Soccer's so hard to follow because there's a million different cups and a million tournaments, and you go, sorry, this
one matters? Qualify for different tournaments through, different things, and you're like, what's going on?
Yeah, but it's clear these fellows want to stack some trophies while they're together as a really sweet group.
Yep.
They have a chance to do this. So, yeah, I think that they're going to go out there tonight. I think they're going to dominate. What do you like? What's your bet?
My bet tonight is Kyle Lehner, anytime goal. He scored against Curaçao at the weekend. He just transferred to Real Valladolid in Spain. He has 5 goals in 8 games. He's only started 5 of those 8 games. He's been an absolute fire. So he's in full form. Him and Jonathan David are likely going to start together. They actually both scored at the weekend, but Kyle Aaron has better value at +130. So Kyle Aaron, anytime goal.
Joe, 10 out of 10 on that team's pronunciation, too. Really good job.
Real Valladolid.
What's the odds on that one?
+130, anytime goal.
That's pretty sweet. Yep. I'll definitely play that. I didn't realize that Jonathan David is only 2 back.
Mm-hmm. He's very close to Kyle Aaron's record.
So I'm just saying that Lehner might want this one for staying ahead.
Staying ahead.
He's going.
I would expect David passes him eventually, but Lehner right now. You know,
we're going to talk to Sid Sixero in a second, but I just the David quote about Barcelona. I went, that's a thing.
It's a thing.
It's funny. Cause I'm really stoked for him. I can't wait to root for him tonight, but he was so irrelevant in the World Cup that I'm kind of like, I'm like Arrested Development.
You had a pretty tough World Cup. You had a pretty tough World Cup.
He's going to Barcelona. Buddy, you better not rip it up in Barcelona and stink for Canada.
He rips it up for Lille. So
I know he does. That's what I'm saying. Hey, somebody get the ball to him better. I don't know. We didn't do a good enough job of it. But if he goes to Barca freaking Lona after no showing for Team Canada, my feelings might not be clear. Okay. Anyway, quick break. Let's come back and let's talk about with Sid Sixero. That was Best Bets brought to you by Betano Sportsbook. Again, the global sports betting partner of the year in 2022. The game starts now. Betano. All right, so yeah, we're going to talk with Sid about what he really cares about with this Canadian cycle. I will say that, boy, seeing that list of names right after the World Cup with everything that's been going on behind the scenes, damn encouraging. Really, really encouraging.
Yeah.
Because just like with the World Baseball Classic, me as a Canadian, me with Canadians at international sporting events, I just assume the worst. I assume nobody's going. Oh, they all went one time, kind of like that Canada team that went down, tried to qualify the FIBA Americas for World Cup that had Wiggins and Olynyk, and then Olynyk fell down because he tried to bring the ball up the court.
Gravis Vasquez broke our heart.
And then... yeah, they lost to Venezuela.
Venezuela, Gervais Vasquez in the last minute, man. That was horrible.
Yeah, I just remember their coach. He was such a dick.
We don't have to bring up these matches. Good happy times. Happy times.
Why do you think the hype isn't there for this Canada soccer game right
what
now?
What do you mean? It's because they...
It's a Nations League game. It's not...
It's because it's only for the diehards like me.
But England cared, English fans cared about the Euro League still, right? I guess Canada,
well,
England.
Well, Euro qualification is also, they also played Italy, so it's a pretty big game, especially after Italy beat them in the Euro final, so a little more juice behind that one.
Yeah, I think when England plays Italy, it's a little bigger than when Canada plays Honduras. Is that your question, Austin?
No, why I just meant in general, why is the in
when the
Canada
country
right
that
now,
cares the most about soccer, not the most, but that's their number one sport they care the most about? Plays a team.
Well, I'd say Euro qualification is also bigger than the Nations League.
Yeah,
Like, European nations, like, nobody really cares about that either.
I think this is pretty self-explanatory is what I'm saying here. What I'm driving at here, guys, is we don't need to have a big question about why the Canadians don't care as much about soccer as the UK. Okay? We're getting there.
That's not what I was
trying
to say.
We're doing our best. I know, awesome. Just let me dunk on you, right? Go back there. So I'm encouraged by it. But quickly, before we call Sid, because it's a couple of minutes here. Mm-hmm. I do want to talk about Lamar. Mm, mm. All right, so Lamar wants out. He posts these three tweets. Joe teaches me that you have to follow someone to see a Twitter thread now.
This is true.
Otherwise, you see the comments underneath it. It's really hard to track.
Old man JD. It
took me like 20 minutes to figure out how to read this until Joe came in here. You didn't know, Pete.
Well, I was...
You didn't know. You know. Did not know. You sat here like a bump on the log. It was a full Joe. You're just as old as me, basically.
Where is the quote?
Yeah, exactly. You had no clue. You had no idea. So I figured it out with Joe. I pieced it together with Joe. I had to ask the question. That's the thing. When you don't know, you need to know the right question. So I get some credit. Mm. So I knew the right question.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah,
you didn't ask me the right question. Enabled. Right. Yes.
So we read it. And I really thought the funniest part is that he tags his fan account. He's like, listen, I'm still with you Ravens fans. Hey, I'm not going to play for your team, but you can follow me. The Ravens flock can follow me at LamarJackson.com.
FansTrust8.
Yeah, FansTrust8. You can follow along at LamarJackson.com. You can watch me rip it up with my new team. Yeah. Follow along, Ravens fans. Boy, this is a weird one. I'll never forget, too, this was Kevin Durant on Bill Simmons' podcast years ago, where he was talking about how he couldn't believe Oklahoma City fans didn't like him after he left. He's like, oh, so it was only when I was on your team, huh? Yes!
That's how it works.
Yes, Kevin!
That's how that works.
And so I think Lamar is going through that, too. Boy, though, I feel for Ravens fans because losing a quarterback that's in his prime, who is just the coolest guy in the league, and who you've built your identity of a fan around, is just a different level of heartbreaking. Mm-hmm. This isn't Russell Wilson for me, where he's, you know, in his early 30s, there's signs of decline, and the drama isn't this big. It's not being drawn out as much, although it was drawn out over a season and a half. It did get to a point, and I was a big Wilson fan, but Wilson was never cool like Lamar. Like, Lamar, in terms of just guys you want to root for, when he makes big plays, there's nobody quite like it. It's like Mahomes, him, and I would say Allen and Burrow is the Mount Rushmore of awesome. And now Jalen Hurts, too. He's in that conversation.
Yeah, Jalen Hurts.
But still, it's those five guys.
A little bit,
yeah. No, but I think Allen's still pretty cool because Allen jumped over a guy this year.
That's true.
And he trusts like six people.
And then every time he throws an interception, people just turn on him instantly.
Yeah, but that's whatever. Anyway. So he wants out. He has that tweet storm. He does it because Harbaugh's about to speak. Poor Harbaugh.
That was like, put his coach in a rough position.
Yeah, but here's the thing. This is my feeling about Harbaugh. Hey, that's what the money's for.
Right.
Don't worry about it, man. Oh, what? You got to answer to the media, and he's handled it perfectly well. You don't think he's had some PR training where they go, hey, Lamar might, if they ask you any questions about Lamar, what are you going to say? We're preparing for him as a quarterback. We love Lamar.
Well, considering he requested it March 2nd, they would have already known.
But this is the thing. So Lamar tweets that, but when did we have Lack and Four on, Austin?
Beginning of December.
Okay. Beginning of December, we had Jason Lack and Four on, and this actually really annoyed me that it didn't get bigger coverage than it did because it popped a little bit.
Yeah.
But Lack and Four is the number one insider when it comes to the Ravens. Nobody knows better than him. He's a Maryland native. He's hyper plugged in. Yeah. And people tried to discredit it because why? He's not Schefter. Like, it was weird. He came on. He told us it was done. And he outlined it exactly with what it is.
Yeah.
Hey, Lamar's wanted this contract for a while. The ownership never gave it to him. They drew it out.
Yep.
And now they're screwed.
Yep.
And now they have no leverage with him because Lamar is not going to, the relationship is broken, the relationship is damaged, blah, blah, blah. Lack and Four laid it all out. Yep. You can go back and listen to the podcast, okay?
The clip is still there.
You can go listen to that Lack and Four interview with me, and it will be the exact same thing as what is happening today. And that's kind of my point is, it doesn't matter that Lamar has pointed that he wants out. This is already kind of an ugly situation, just like it is with Rodgers and the Packers, where the Packers want a really heavy price. The Jets don't want to pay one. And they're in the spot where they're going to go, either we're going to sit this guy and get nothing, or we're screwed.
Yeah.
Or we're going to have to take less than we want. And it feels like the Ravens, man, what are they? Maybe this thing turns around. Maybe somebody gets in the mix and really pays. But to give him that contract, right? You have to have that dough on hand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not every owner has that money for Lamar right away, especially not what he wants, because he wants the guaranteed money. That's the whole thing Lamar Jackson has been fighting for is, this was a dumber version of this, but do you remember Le'Veon Bell a couple of years ago where he wanted the guaranteed money and he sat out an entire year and he said it was for the running backs? I actually feel like Lamar is doing something similar to this.
I totally agree.
He is pushing this as greater than about just himself. He is trying to make this a, I want more guaranteed money for the position. That being said, you know how much Lamar makes on the franchise tag a week if he decides to sit him out?
A week?
$2 million per week.
Oh my goodness.
So he's sitting out. Imagine that. $2 million a week.
No, he's sitting out. He's not playing football.
Anyway,
wow.
It doesn't change anything. And even the news cycle knew this because there was like 35 minutes of, hey, Lamar requested a trade. Let's see what Harbaugh said. Oh, Harbaugh said nothing. Oh, no one's reporting anything new other than Meek Mill. That's the only guy with a report. The only guy with a report was Meek Mill. And then, yeah, Pete shared the meme of the guy from Seinfeld, Newman, yelling, hey, Lamar Jackson wants a trade request. See, nobody cares.
That's it. The Jurassic Park.
Meek Mill would be the last person I would guess to break that kind of news.
Man, why would Lamar also, that would be the worst landing spot. Hey, go from the one place that has no receivers to the only other place where they have worse receivers. Like
Battle of Mid.
If you guys can name me three receivers on the Patriots right now.
Jacoby Myers is no longer there.
There you go.
Hunter Henry.
He's another series tight end.
Jonnu Smith, too, for doing tight ends out of Boy Pete.
Yeah, there you go.
Nice.
Nice try. Anyway, Sid Sixero.
Well, I should think about it.
Yeah, see, try. See, but you tried and you failed. You guys got all excited. You were like, close. That's your generation, man. We tried.
I was letting him fail.
We tried, so give us everything. Sid Sixero of Breakfast Television. What's up, brother? How we doing?
I'm trying to figure out what Le'Veon Bell really got out of that on behalf of the rest of the
career.
Running back. A boxing career? Yeah. Oh, he got boxed, all right. He got boxed in, all right. Like, I just don't, like, the Lamar thing, before we talk about everything else, sorry, since you're here.
No, you can do whatever you want.
If you were just in that combine and didn't like any of the quarterbacks, for whatever reason, why not give up two firsts for him? How does that not make sense? Now, I'm not saying paying him $200 million makes sense.
Yeah.
But in terms of the investment on the opportunity to have him a part of your organization, how does that not make sense?
Well, there's two things for me. The money does matter because we're talking about a rookie contract quarterback where you have that runway. And if you're one of those teams, right, other than sort of the Colts in the top four, there's no case that Houston can make for themselves where they go, we'll be really good in the next 2 years with Lamar, giving him all this guaranteed money. In fact, you sort of put yourself into the middle if you end up doing that. If you're the Panthers, I actually think there's sort of an interesting conversation where you go, maybe you move just the number one pick and say that's the end of the deal. You can have the first overall pick, Ravens. We'll take Lamar. We'll pay him, and we're good. And that'll be the decision that we end up making. And now you start looking at all that trade that they did where it's all the first round picks and stuff. And you go, actually, that kind of netted out into Lamar. That's fine. I love Lamar. But the other part of it is, man, he's been hurt the last couple of years. And he's not RG3, right? But to me, if I was a fan, giving him a ton of guaranteed money, 2 years in a row where he's played 12 games in a now 17 game season, that, for all the guaranteed money, it would scare me a little bit. Plus, look at the trades that just got made last offseason. Granted, he's younger and he's, I think, better than these other guys, but man, the Deshaun Watson trade gave up multiple first round picks, flamed out, your team is screwed. The Russell Wilson trade gave up multiple first round picks, gave him a big contract. That team looks screwed unless Sean Payton can work miracles. So to me, there's reasons against it, but you're right. If you want to win right now, if you want to turn the ship around, if you're the Colts and you're tired of this and you don't want to go through trying to develop Will Levis for the next 5 years, then yeah, the move is very clear. Give up the first round pick. And I think right now the major point is you don't even have to, I don't think that the package to trade for Lamar Jackson is going to be all that much because he's,
that's what I mean.
Yeah.
I'm like, with you. What is the package? It's not astronomical. Yeah.
That's why I think they might be waiting it out though, Sid. I think that's why it might be taking so long is these teams are lurking. They're vulturing. They're going, let's see who's, if the offer keeps going down and down and down, no one wants to jump the market until they know exactly what the market is.
But I just don't understand how he goes back.
Oh, no, he doesn't.
There's no shot he goes back. I mean, I just, and so I just apply the whole, this is one of the weirder situations. I thought, I Le'Veon Bell was kind of weird to me.
Oh, yeah.
But that makes more sense to me in terms of how many miles he had on his odometer.
Yeah.
I get it. I get where Pittsburgh's coming from. This one, when he's on the field, he's an MVP player.
Yep. No question.
He is an MVP player. Now, does he play every game? No. But maybe, I don't know, you coach him up not to run every third play?
Yep.
Can you not coach him up?
Well, that's what's his name on ESPN? Dan Orlovsky. This has been his hobby horse, him and Chris Sims, both two former quarterbacks. That system Greg Roman ran in Baltimore discouraged the development of him as a passer, and that all the criticisms that had been lodged his way over the last couple of years of, hey, Lamar Jackson is a glorified running back who can throw, right? That a lot of that actually had to do with the way that Baltimore handled him, not the way that he could actually play. And I think that would be a big point of curiosity moving forward of getting him actual weapons and being in a different offense. It's like, yeah, can you coach him up to be more of a pocket passer? I think you can.
Yeah, I wish the kid all the best.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's not like, I really think he needs an agent.
Yeah.
with respect.
Yeah.
Because I think a guy with some experience would have pulled some levers at this point.
This might be a lesson for me, you know? this might be a lesson for me personally. As I'm like, yeah,
hold on. What is the lesson? Like, let's air this out.
Get the agent.
You do not have an agent right now.
No, God no. I was like, yeah, I can handle it.
Why is it a God no? You're on air all the time in Toronto.
No, but that's,
why would that be a God no?
Well, because I have hubris and I think I can do things myself. And then even it's like that's why I'm on air in Toronto. Is I'm overly confident, and sometimes that bites you in the ass. That's how that works.
The Art of the Deal, the new book. By Judy Bunkins.
Yeah, The Art of the Deal.
The Art of My Deal.
Yeah, me going, oh, sure, that's fine. Like, that's great. No, cool. Anyway, so I mentioned this before you came on with Canada Soccer. I have it just built in as a Canadian sports fan with national teams that are not hockey that, oh, okay, these guys are never showing up again. I mentioned Canada, they went to one tournament, Wiggins and Olynyk and all those guys showed up and we lost, and then they were like, yeah, that was embarrassing for us. Never again. World Baseball Classic, Canadians, they ask some of the guys, and Josh Naylor goes, well, God forbid I get hurt, he says. And you go, yeah, all right, I guess so. Fine, we won't see you there. Canada Soccer tonight, everybody's there. Everybody, including Alphonso Davies. I'm so excited because I'm going down, and I actually went to 3 Canada Soccer games during the qualifying cycle, and guess what? He was out for all 3 of them. It was one of the most frustrating things for me. I never got to see Davies despite being at 3 games, so I get to see him tonight. Yeah, this is for June's Nation League's final, where if they win this game, they get into a 4-team single elimination tournament. I loved seeing this quote from Jonathan David saying, it's a game we need to win. Yeah, what do you think is at play here? Because behind the scenes, it's been a disaster for Canada Soccer since before the World Cup. Since they basically qualified, we went, yay, we beat Jamaica, we're going to go to the World Cup. And then 10 seconds later, they went, oh, but here's the news, is you can't even buy a Davies Canada Soccer jersey because it's such a train wreck behind the scenes. The women's team has obviously been very public in terms of their problems with the program, the money split, all these different things. But yet, here the players are showing up. So what are you to make of this?
Well, I mean, there's 2 stories this week, one on the field and one off. Let's talk about on the field.
Yeah.
Again, tonight matters because that Nations League event this summer would be one of 2 trophy possibilities for a nation that is already in the World Cup. So if you listen, the great thing about hosting a World Cup, if you're Canada, is you're there. What sucks is there's no grind. There is nothing like CONCACAF grind. It will make metal out of anyone. Mm. And that's the part of this I'm not caught on. I don't like not spending 18 months surviving and coming together as a group and just not having that. I don't think it makes you better if you're us. If you're Canada, if you're America and Mexico, I don't know. But if you're us, that made us better. That was a goal to reach. So you don't have that. So what do you need? What does Herdman need? Herdman needs stuff like the Nations League. He needs the Gold Cup this summer. He can build the entire program around it, and it's a legitimate chase because I believe the 2024 summer is going to be the Copa America. I think Canada's going to get into that with South American teams. But this summer, this is it. And from what I'm hearing, there are players in that camp who maybe were thinking, okay, I'll walk away after the World Cup, or I'm not sure if I'm going to continue. And I think the reason you're seeing basically, JD, the same group is the feeling to get a trophy with Canada, even a Nations League, even a Gold Cup, is far greater than we think. And I think that's why you're going to see some familiar faces out there. I think that's why Alphonso Davies is in Curaçao. Like, you wouldn't normally see that. I'm with you. But I think that's why they're here. And on the field, that's what this means.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Off the field this week, once again, it's a bleep show.
Ugh. So I was kind of hoping you were going to go the other way with this today and go, hey, actually, there's progress being made, and that's part of the reason these guys are here. And you started with, it's a bleep show, and I went, oh, God, strap in. All right, have Sid.
There's no progress. Yeah. The only progress that's being made is the group wants to win together. Mm-hmm. Now, you can put that above a lot of things. You can make that an ultimate positive. It's a great positive. However, I mean, not only is Nick Bontis and Victor Montagliani going to speak in front of a standing committee in Ottawa Thursday, which is going to be really interesting, two guys who technically aren't part of Canada soccer anymore but have been in the middle of it for a long time, and they're going to get called on the carpet. Thankfully, someone's going to call Nick Bontis on the carpet for what's going on here because he's done this. That's going to be Thursday, but out of curiosity, what were the ticket prices that you got for tonight's game at BMO? Out of curiosity.
I would like to say that I did not pay for my ticket tonight.
Okay, yeah. Because, you know what, you don't need an agent because you can get comp like that. Yeah. Good for you.
Yeah. But I can tell you what I think they were. I was told that there were some that were in the corners for close to $200.
Yep.
That they were. It was a pretty expensive ticket.
Yep.
Yeah.
Around one, I saw Craig Forrest put out a tweet last night saying, it's like 175 each around midfield.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Ball.
For Honduras.
Yeah.
For Honduras. Now, I have family currently in Portugal.
Yeah.
The Portuguese national team took on Liechtenstein.
How'd that go for Liechtenstein?
Eventually the parking of the bus didn't work.
Shocker. Yeah.
Ronaldo got his typical penalty against Liechtenstein and went home. but my point is though, my cousin sent us a note on the pricing. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't $175 to see that game. It was $29 top ticket Canadian.
Yeah.
Like We gotta stop this, man. Like this is there are families that can't go to that tonight. And that is a welcoming home for our men's program.
Mm-hmm.
Our women's program are still waiting on their farewell game. Hopefully they get it. But this is the type of stuff that's out there, and I haven't heard the entire scrum, but I know Hervin spoke yesterday on the situation. Quite frankly, he has not been vocal enough, if I'm being honest. That guy's been quiet, and I'm not cool with it. You either support him publicly or don't. Like, I'm very surprised at how little we've heard from John Herdman on the money issue when it comes to our men's and women's programs, two programs he has deep ties with, deep. But he was embarrassed at the situation that they're in, and he was kind of vocal about it finally yesterday. And I just think there's still too many things. There's too many things. Like I'm angry at this still. Like I haven't let this go. And I'm happy that Nick Bontis and Victor Montagliani are going to be in front of MPs on Thursday. I'm very happy. Because there's people in this country that really care about this sport. They don't, but a lot of us do. And I want answers on what the hell happened here. Janine Becky went to hell and back and then had her year scrapped. For what? What was that fight about? I want to know what that fight was about. I want to know where the money's going. I want to see the books. And they can make that happen. Hockey Canada has to give up an investigation now to the standing committee. They have subpoena power. They can get those books. I want to see the books. So I'm trying really hard, dude, to be excited about tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Really hard. It's difficult because of the mess that's all around us when it comes to soccer in this country, and it's pathetic. It's pathetic. I'll be watching tonight, and I'll be rooting, and the whole nine yards. But I'm not feeling good about this right now.
Yeah.
Because we're not close to an intelligent conclusion. And I don't know how it's going to show up. I really don't.
It is still just insane to me from an outsider standpoint when you learned about how Canada Soccer brokered that deal. Like, and the players went, wait, do we get to know where it is? And they were like, no, just trust us. It's fine. Maybe you'll get some. And they went, no, but can we, as the major revenue generators, get a shot in terms of what we're going to be getting? Yeah, no, trust us. We got to build soccer in the country, all right? We got to, it's for the kids. Oh, you want to take food out of the kids' mouths? Is that what the position you guys want to be in? And then it got turned into, these guys want World Cup tickets. And it's unreasonable. And that was the beginning of what we got publicly. But you're right. There should absolutely be more on this. I don't understand how there isn't more transparency just in general with these bodies, like how we're at this place now. That seems like something where, yeah, you'd watch an old-timey, like a noir movie from the 1930s, 40s, and they would go, we're not opening up the book, see? And that's how they were able to do these cover-ups. Not like this in modern times, where it should be pretty obvious and player empowerment is so big. But you're right. It does hang over things. And I was hoping that today you were going to come on and say, hey, like, there is a little bit of progress being made. But the Herdman thing especially is very, very interesting and very, very true. Because, yeah, he's had his hands in both. He's been with this program for a long time. He has a really big, he's got a lot of leverage right now with the program, just in terms of where he's at. The fact that he was negotiating the contract. Maybe not as much as he thought he would have. But there's got to at least be some. Like, I think it would be pretty big black eye for the program if all of a sudden he would have left for a lateral job, right?
Well, it would also be a hell of a look if he leveraged in this moment.
Yeah.
Like, again, the things we're not talking about with John I find are very interesting. A, his lack of a public opinions on this topic in terms of payment. I found that interesting. And again, when that story came up, what was it, New Zealand? New Zealand were sniffing around?
New Zealand.
Boy, that went away quick, eh?
Yeah.
That was a joint statement from John and the CSA, the CSA, who can barely organize a sock closet. And they got out there really quick.
You have a closet for your socks, Richie Rich?
It's not important. Wow. One day you'll have an agent.
Yeah, wow. A whole closet just for his socks. That's BT money, baby. That's agent money. Sorry.
It's not important.
Yeah.
It's not important. I don't work for the CSA. I can have some socks.
Yeah.
So I just, John's role in this I find interesting. I trust John. I like John. I love John. But, like, that New Zealand story in the middle of these negotiations was interesting. The lack of his lack of actual criticism of the CSA has been interesting to me. Like, I'm tired of the take. This is the take I want buried. Okay. Mm. Quote. It's a real unfortunate situation.
Mm.
End quote.
Yeah.
No guff. It's an unfortunate situation.
That's the pucks in deep of no comment.
That's the pucks in deep, bury it. We need to have a cemetery of takes.
Yeah.
And I want mausoleums put up for a couple of them. and it's an unfortunate situation is the heavy, gets the biggest lot.
Yeah.
I want that buried. John Herdman is a very influential person in this country.
Yeah.
And behind the scenes, it's not like I've heard he's been at the tip of the spear trying to fix this. Because I haven't, and I would have. So I just think there's a lot of really weird things going on that have led to a lot of uncertainty still being there. And I really want to just focus on what should be a decent game tonight at BMO.
Yeah.
But I can't.
We all do.
I can't.
We all do. And that's what's so frustrating about a lot of this. And I find it especially interesting with Herdman and you bringing up these points because so much of what he does is player buy-in, player, you know, connection. We've heard the way that his former players on the women's team have spoken about him, right? I remember even stories about, when Christine Sinclair, lost her father and the way that he had stepped up in that moment. And so for someone that is so hyper-personal with his players and someone that is so, over-the-top, exuberant publicly about them and gets that level of buy-in and has been able to accomplish that with them, it is a little surprising that, he wouldn't be doing that and what the motivation would be around not doing it because you would think that maybe that's a negotiation tactic for himself to be basically taking money from, the CSA where they say, listen, we want you bought into this. You're a part of who we are now. Like, you're a part of upper management, so take the money and you're no longer siding with these players in that way. But if he does that, I would assume that he loses the players. And or if he's trying to be silent because, what, another governing body would be afraid that he's overly vocal, so they wouldn't want to hire him, whether that's another national team or whether that's a club team. That's pretty much the status quo when it comes to coaches, right? Is, hey, oh, if someone gets fired and they, you know, kicked up a big storm, we don't want to hire that guy because what happens if we fire him? You think that's, what, like, which of those two do you think is more likely that he's doing here?
I still think, I mean, look, I just think he wants to keep what is a good relationship for him mm-hmm. good among a sea of chaos.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, listen, my fear the whole time was Herdman, they go to Qatar, they get to the round of 16, and Herdman's running Nottingham Forest. Mm-hmm. Like that in my mind's eye, I always had that scenario playing out. But let's tell it like it is. That Croatia episode was kind of an embarrassment. When he called out one of the top sides in the world for no reason and pissed them off. Like, that didn't go well for him. Mm-hmm. And I just feel like coming off that tournament, his star wasn't what I thought it would be. Now, does that mean people in the CSA still aren't afraid he would leave? No. No. But I don't think we're in the space that we could have been with him leaving. Mm-hmm. We're hosting a World Cup. He's going to leave? He's going to leave.
Not for New Zealand.
Not for New Zealand.
Yeah.
maybe for Burnley.
That's a tough one. That's a tough, like, one to trot out as your number one offer. I got New Zealand.
That's a tough opener to negotiate.
Yeah, listen, I'm not hiring that agent to have him come out and be like, "We got you a New Zealand radio show."
No. Like, yeah. Very thin sock drawers in New Zealand.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's very fired immediately.
Yeah, the sock closet.
Yeah.
I feel like we're not in the same spot we were 8 months ago.
Yeah.
Not that we can't get back. But again, let's get back to the positive. You're right. I need to be more positive.
Yeah, okay.
I've been told this.
Let's flip it then. I got some positive for you. All right, with this tonight, I thought it was pretty noteworthy that Ishmael Kone ends up getting the start over Atiba. And Joe, just give me a real look. What was the look?
The look is I'm happy about it.
Okay, you're happy about it, Jovo? Okay, good. All right, you gave me a look that scared me to my core. Where I was like,
I'm sorry.
That was the hardcore soccer guy look of... You idiot. Yeah, that wasn't the look I was trying to portray. Hey, listen, I still have my soccer insecurities, all right? I'm a new Canada's number one soccer fan. He gets that start over Atiba, and it made me think of whose development over the next 4 years or over this next cycle do you think has the most import to Canada? Because I think Davey's maintaining his star power, great. David has pretty much already emerged as a great player because he's drawing a lot of offers and he's ripping it up for his club team. But is it Kone? Like, who is the guy that you're going to care most about when it comes to progress?
I still think it's Jonathan David.
Okay.
Because if Jonathan David's scoring, it doesn't matter who's in the midfield. Mm. If Jonathan David is scoring, Fonzie can have a night off. Like, the power of a top-level striker, he's an eraser. Mm-hmm. He fixes a lot. And that was the one part of Qatar on the field that just baffled me, was Jonathan David.
Yeah.
Because I didn't think he was hurt. I hadn't read anything that suggested he was hurt. In fact, he went back to Lille and started scoring immediately. So to me, it's still Jonathan David at a national team level. And I know he scored a bunch, but if he could keep that going, like, they're going to raise it. If he could score 4 or 5 goals in a tournament, they're winning one of the nations or Gold Cup. Mm. And they have a chance to win both if he does. Now, Ishmael Kone and some of the younger guys, you know, definitely we can dig into it a bit deeper. And look, is he the next guy after Tiba? Of course, 100%. But to me, it's Jonathan David.
Yeah.
It's Jonathan David. And quite frankly, let's be real about it. Other than some unbelievable flashes, has Alphonso Davies taken over a consistent number of games?
Yeah, he's hurt a lot during the qualifiers.
He was hurt going into that tournament last summer. Yeah. Or last winter, pardon me. We just haven't really seen that either. Like, I think before you focus too closely on the Kones on the roster, mm-hmm. there's still some things that the upper level guys have to prove to me. And because there's another couple of levels this team can go.
Yeah.
I don't like that Stephen Vittoria is still out there. Like, there are some real holes.
Okay.
Real holes. But I would still stick with the main guys and say consistency, boys.
Yep.
It's time for some consistency.
Okay. I think that's a fair one. I thought Davies was pretty dominant in the first game against Belgium. Like, it was just, yeah, pretty incredible watching when he went, holy crap, this guy totally belongs on the stage. Belgium ended up being a little worse than I think we all thought as we were watching that first game.
They also played him three separate positions positions in three games, which made no sense.
Yeah, okay.
Made no sense.
That feels relevant. That feels relevant in the conversation.
That's the Urban thing.
Yeah. Feels...
I want to find a position for your best player, but
yeah,
I want to find a position for him.
That might be a good thing. That would probably be solid. That would probably be decent. But yeah, I think that because Jonathan David's name has always been around, it's been around for a little while too, where it's always been, hey, Davies is the star, but there's this other guy, David, right? And that's now been 3 years-ish, maybe four, where we've known that. You lose sight of the fact that he's 23 years old. And what is the prime for a striker? Like, I don't know that. What is the prime age for somebody who, it's like, this guy is now the best? I would guess that it's still younger, but then we end up knowing who guys are because they accumulate over the years. But yeah, so are we looking at a situation where it's like kind of like a basketball player where 27 is your prime, so that's what he should be hitting by come next World Cup?
I think, listen, a lot of strikers under the age of 30 have a lot of runway.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not like, you know, it's not like you're a winger and you're running the entire time. Like, striker, like the stamina for strikers in soccer, it's very central defender-ish. Like, you're going, but you're not running like Davies is running.
Yeah.
You're not. You're not running like Alistair Johnson's running. It's just there's different stages to how much energy you have to put forth. And the best I've ever seen do it, guys like Thierry Henry and like Messi and whatnot, like they did, like watch Messi enough, and not even recently, I'm talking like in his prime, he's not gunning it for 90. Like, he'll find his runs and he goes. Mm-hmm. That's all Jonathan David has to do. He's not Gennaro Gattuso, or he's not Roy Keane running around here constantly trying to take your legs out from under you. It's a different position. So I think he has a lot of runway. That's what excites me the most about David.
Yeah.
A lot of runway. The position that Alphonso Davies is playing, and in the league he's playing it in Germany, is tough. Tough. And put Miles on him on the wing in England. Put Miles on him on the wing in Spain. That is not an easy way to live in soccer.
Mm.
It isn't. And Ronaldo's greatness is that he did that for a very long time. And so did Messi to a certain extent.
Yep.
That's why they're great. They're not great because they're great. They're great because they scored all those goals and they're not strikers.
Mm.
That's why they're great. Jonathan David, if he finds his flow, he can play for a very long time at a high, high level. And that's the most exciting thing about David for me.
Yeah. Man, he's 23 and he's two goals back of being the record holder for this country, which is just, yeah.
That's wild.
Yeah, it's pretty insane. So, yeah, you're probably right in terms of this. And I'm just, you know, too hyper-focused on the smaller details as the number one soccer fan in this country now. It's like the Cones, right? Like, I'm being too much of a hipster about it. I'm being too much of a Merrick, right? Where it's like, you know, on the Arizona Coyotes, the second pairing defense could be, and I was like, that's me, but with soccer. I'm basically that guy now. Okay, we got to run, but I want to know, you want a Leafs thought or a Jays thought? We only have time for one of them. Jays or Leafs? Which team has your interest more right now? Which team do you care more about or do you want to discuss with me right now?
Give me Jays.
Okay.
Actually, no, Leafs.
Okay.
What the hell was Bunting doing in Nashville the other night?
In terms of the, like, where he got
the,
placed?
The ignore of the coach heard around the world.
Okay.
What was that?
I don't know. I think that Bunting is in a tough spot because the coach has been exceedingly hard on him. He's had a really good runway where he was here on a cheap contract and got to play with star players. They've moved him around a lot this year. He's sort of been the whipping boy for the coach where he'll publicly move him down the lineup despite a lot of production on a cheap deal. He's up for a new contract. And I think he's starting to realize, and the Leafs are starting to realize, that it's highly unlikely that he will be back next year because he'll be able to command a decent dollar. And if you're the Leafs, you're looking at whenever you put Yarncroc up there or just about anybody up in the top six, including Alex Kerfoot, who scored last night, that, yeah, a lot of people can do that job. So, yeah, he's a fiery guy. He's in a contract year. There's a lot of pressure on the team. He's been up and down. The bunting stuff is, like, really interesting. It's funny because, like, in years past, he would have been a massive point of conversation because especially since he's local, right? And he plays with that edge and that energy. But for some reason, I don't know if it's the diving or the fact that the team has struggled, but he doesn't seem to resonate the same way that even like Connor Brown's did or Hyman's did, other local energy top six guys have.
like I barely like it when superstars do that to their coach.
Yeah.
I don't like that. I don't like that at all. Not with 10-ish games left or whatever's left. Keith has to deal with that. And I don't think, like, I heard Merrick and Friedman the other day on the pod saying, you know, is it much to do about nothing? No, I think when that stuff happens out in the open, that's not nothing.
No, it's real.
That's real because that means you know what is happening behind the scenes.
Yeah.
When that's spilled, like, just when someone shows you a peek into the back, there's some reality in that. And if that's Matthews or Marner or Nylander, that's a story. I damn well believe it's a story when someone like Bunting.
Yeah, I think, again, this is a guy who's reaching his tipping point with Bunting, who has just gone, I've had enough, man. I'm out here trying. I'm out here standing in front of the net every single night. I'm going into the corners. I'm bringing passion to this team. I make less than $1 million. And, yeah, you're sitting me. Like, what the hell? You keep jerking me around. You keep moving me down. I'm the guy that you come to in the media. And, yeah, do I think it's poor form for Bunting? Absolutely, I do. Yeah, no, there's no doubt about it. I just think that this is... You know how we talked about, I was like all this stuff with Van Vliet and this ref Ben Taylor, and the consensus take was some people just don't get along. Some people just, it's not possible for them. There's just an element to them that, yeah, it just doesn't work with the other person. I wonder if that's Keefe and Bunting to a degree, and that this relationship, that every day they see each other and it's just like, ugh, you know,
they don't see it. They don't see it. My problem is though, like Calgary has been like 7 of those.
Yeah.
And you see where they ended up.
Yeah.
And I just, like, one of those is, I just don't want to take that from a guy in Bunting who thinks he's great.
Mm-hmm.
Thinks he's great. He's not. And I just think you got to deal with that. Like, I'd sit him for a few games. I'm serious. Like, at what point, what is it? Like, you're playing Tampa.
Yeah.
Like, I think the room needs a real, like, just Sheldon has to take control.
Yeah.
He just has to take control because I thought that was ridiculous. Sorry, I know I'm going late.
No,
I thought
it
was ridiculous. Michael Bunting is in any other NHL city is a nobody.
Yeah,
and I wouldn't take that.
Yeah,
I wouldn't take that.
I think for them, they're looking at it as they benched him in that game. They've moved him down the lineup, and they're just going to need him in terms of secondary scoring come playoff time. And you want to feel like he's invested. And yes, of course, again, he's going to be chasing that contract. And I do think that he's one of those guys that really can't turn down the intensity in the try. That's his best skill, right? Is that he's going to go out there and bring that base pretty consistently. Like he's going to bring that fearlessness. He's going to bring that stuff. But boy, yeah, you can't have that with your coach. You can't have that publicly. And it's actually something that I haven't like covered too much because I sort of just decided to let it go. But I think that you raising it right now is a good one. Sid, thanks for doing this today. Try to just enjoy the game tonight. You know, watch for me in the supporter section. I'm not going tarps off tonight. I'm going to, you know, I'm going to keep my shirt on, but who knows,
please,
you know,
like,
who knows?
We don't need a CP Wire store on JD Bunker shirt.
If David scores twice and he ties the record, like I might have to do it.
One in a row.
Yeah. I might have to let it fly. Since Sarah Breakfast Television. Thanks, brother. I'll talk to you soon.
See you, boys.
See you, man. All right. We're late. Let's take a quick break. Let's come back. Shut this sucker down.
Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Always fun getting a chat with Sid. The best on soccer.
Mm-hmm.
Someday, I hope to have that authority over anything where I can actually be that opinionated.
Yeah, when Sid talks, you listen.
Yeah, he's dialed up about the Canada soccer stuff. Like, I can't call out Jotter. Right. Mm-hmm. If I do it, it's just like I get clown emoji in the replies. Fairly so.
Someone on Twitter's getting mad at you for that.
Clown take. And I go, fair. I'm not there. When you got the whole life in soccer and when you're watching Portugal Liechtenstein and you got that reference at the disposal.
I'm almost embarrassed that I watched that game.
What, Portugal Liechtenstein?
Yeah, the Portugal won 4-0.
I'm embarrassed too because here's the thing, I want you to not.
I will not.
You should be doing work.
I will not watch.
You should be doing something else.
It was on like my third screen in the background.
I love that you love soccer, Jobo.
Thanks,
and I'm sure this game's on television tonight too, right?
Canada Honduras?
Yeah, somewhere, right? It's got to be somewhere.
Hopefully. Official broadcast.
It will be somewhere.
Canadian.
Yeah. Okay.
Friendlies.
Yeah. Either way, I'll be there in the
supporter
section.
Okay, stop bragging to me. Man, you're hurting me here.
I would have brought you, Joe. I oversight. Yeah, I know. I should have brought you.
You would have brought us, 2P. Don't worry.
No.
Well, no, I'm just, why say that if you're not going to bring Joe? Like, Yeah. I would have brought Trill.
I should
not
have
doing anything tonight.
Well, here's the thing. I didn't think about it until last minute.
Oh,
I didn't even. I got to admit, I had a bit of oversight with this game in terms of I didn't even know it was going down until I want to say 4 days ago.
Yeah, the Nations League kind of crept up
a little bit more than that. But someone texted me, "Yo, you going to the game?" And I went,
"What
pardon?
Game?
Yeah.
What
pardon
game?
Me? I'm so excited to see Alphonso Davies though. Yeah. Like really, really, truly, because again, I missed him in all three games I went to in the qualifiers. Mm-hmm. He obviously didn't play against Jamaica.
Yep.
Who's hurt? Same mm-hmm. with the American game. He had long COVID.
Yep.
And then the first
myocarditis,
game.
Myocarditis, I believe it's called.
Yeah, whatever. Some COVID, mm-hmm. whatever.
COVID-related
some injury
heart.
Related to yeah. COVID. And then the first game I went to was El Salvador, which mm-hmm. he didn't play in. And I think he had a minor injury then. And that was when we had the drama. Remember, God, such a long cycle ago was when it was Davies, on Betano.
Yeah, I just thought I'd mention it.
Yeah,
boosted
on,
right now.
On Betano, Davies' goal prop is boosted from +180 to +250. Hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah, interesting. Just worth a little sprinkle, as if I need to.
You're seeing him for the first time tonight, you know?
Yeah,
it would
I'm
be
going
fun to have
yeah,
some money.
Yeah, Pete, yeah. thank you. Yeah. You just cost me more money. Thank you. Thank you, Pete, for your contribution of spend more money, JD, than you were already going to tonight. All right, so we got a few minutes here. Oh, by the way, I got an announcement. Mm. Tomorrow we're moving to 1 hour.
We are.
All right? We're moving to 1 hour for the time being, but only on radio.
Mm.
Won't be every single day. But we will be doing bonus stuff for the podcast. So if you're a radio listener and you're like, oh, JD, it should be longer. Give us more than the 10 hours a week you've been giving us straight, unfiltered from your brain.
Plus lease talk.
Yeah, plus lease talk, which I also am doing subscribe and review. Yeah. Oh, JD, well, that's not enough. Oh. There will be more on the podcast. We'll be having more fun on the podcast. We'll add some special features, special interviews, all kinds of different stuff to the pod. So subscribe/follow the podcast, iTunes, Spotify.
Mm-hmm.
You hit that little follow button and it will give you those episodes and you will get that bonus content. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, starting tomorrow, Blair and Barker begins at 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
And frankly, you got the choice as a program director. Hey, you want more Blair and Barker or more JD? And it's like, yeah, well, that's a tough break for you. Yeah.
So will we stay in this room?
Yeah.
For the
yeah.
2 hours? Or
well, this is stuff that we talk about
this
often.
This is all fair stuff. Come on, like,
welcome
sorry,
to.
Yeah, yeah. My anxiety.
Also,
is,
this is actually something that we've done many times. We've discussed, actually. So that's good that you're really awake, Pete. You're really on the ball today.
To see
anyway,
how long it takes us to get
Jobo, what did we miss? We got a couple minutes.
Jaylen Brown had some comments. He's been in the news lately for some murky comments about his future in Boston. Mm-hmm. And then on Sunday when they played San Antonio, he balled out 41 points, got a huge ovation when he came out of the game. And they asked him about it after the game. And this is what he said.
Jaylen, fans gave you a pretty loud ovation in the fourth quarter coming out. In the light of your recent comments about your future here, did that mean a little more?
I just come out every day and just do my job. That's all I'm focused on.
Oof.
Ooh.
that
one would hurt.
So by all accounts, there's a really great write-up on him recently about his future and, yeah, Boston and his awareness. I actually have something for this for Raptors fans. Why can't the Raptors and the Celtics do some kind of trade that centers around Jaylen Brown for OG Anunoby plus?
Would we like that? Plus who?
Well, plus something else.
Plus,
I don't know.
I guess whatever. Probably some picks or a pick. No, well, Jaylen Brown's pretty good though.
Yeah, the problem is Toronto doesn't have other players. Yeah, no. OG straight up for him is a robbery. For Boston, especially given his health.
Yes.
But I did think, okay, you want to have the wing defensive player next to Tatum.
Mm-hmm.
Fits. Both guys don't seem happy with their role. One guy wants a little bit more in OG.
Yep.
One guy wants to be the face of a franchise somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
He gets a chance to face the Celtics, who he now hates, and the Raptors. I thought maybe Siakam, but then the Siakam plus. It'd be tough. It'd be tough to make this trade, obviously, but...
Siakam plus OG is too much.
No, yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah. It's like you can't do both those guys for Jaylen.
Mm-hmm. It would have to be one of them plus like other assets.
But that's it. It's really hard to kind of get to what that would be
for
Toronto, Boston. But just the idea of the basic starting point for both organizations of, yeah, we've got OG on the table and we've got Siakam on the table.
Mm.
Like who the Raptors draft this year if they end up with like a higher pick.
Mm.
Would you do that plus... OG plus a future first.
Which we hope they do.
We hope
and
they
then
have a
re-sign him,
defense.
And then you've got a team with Jaylen Brown, Siakam.
A guy who can score.
Yeah, just saying.
Mm-hmm.
I wondered, because he might have to get traded. Anyway, we got to run. Subscribe to the podcast, leave 5 stars. We'll see you tomorrow. Pat Hankin.